Let me have your attention, please. Are you grabbing my gavel? The 2012 Convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois is called to order. And we are going to begin with a bang. As you know, some of what we do is legislative. So from time to time, we invite various senators and congresspeople to come and talk with us. I am going to begin the day today by introducing a state senator who has been a friend of ours, who accepted our invitation very graciously and very quickly. So without further ado, I'm going to let Dan Kitowski tell you about himself.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see everybody here today. I thank you for the opportunity. I also thank you for hosting a convention that's conveniently about four blocks away from my house, so I really appreciate that. It's great to see everybody today. I want to thank Patty for that kind introduction. I know that you're the voice of the blind in the state of Illinois, right? I know you're the voice. Hold on. And the reason why I'm here is because I care, and the reason why I'm here is so I can be more of your voice in the Illinois State Legislature. So I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here. I don't know if you in the room know who I am and what I do down Springfield. I'm the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. So the state budget comes through my committee. Yeah, so here's what I've been working on, because I think this is important. We've had a challenge in our state. We've had decades of waste and mismanagement and corruption practiced by both political parties, right? Which brought the state to its knees financially. And the issue is, what is someone like me doing to fix the problem, right? What am I doing to fix the problem? Well, I got a law passed that requires the state of Illinois for the first time ever to live within its means, just like you have to. The law says the state must live within its means and to fund programs based on priority and performance, right? So do you think advocating for people who need services who are blind and who are parents who are blind is a priority?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Should I be fighting for that?
Yes.
Now, should I continue to get rid of self-serving perks for politicians?
Yes.
All right, should I continue to fight against waste and corruption?
Yes.
So here's what I've done. I got a law passed that says if you're a politician and you violate the public trust, you lose your campaign fund, your assets, and your property.
Yeah. Right.
All right? I also got a law passed that takes away, believe it or not, a politician could get free health care for life. Does anybody in this room get free health care?
No.
Do you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I did is I got a law passed that says politicians can no longer get free health care. They have to pay for it now, and that saved the state $250 million.
Whoa.
All right? That's real money that we could put in the services, for making sure that, let's say, we try and update voting machines for people who are trying to vote who are blind, right? Let's say we update technology to help people who are blind. That's real money. I also got a law passed to make sure that we cut the salaries of every single elected officials, because everybody else has had to do more with less. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the point. We need to turn this state around, right? We need to make sure this is a state that when you invest the money, when taxpayers, your taxpayers, you spend your money, that it's spent wisely and that there's a great return on investment. Now, I'm here today because I understand your concerns that you have about voting rights, right?
Yep.
I understand and I get the fact you're concerned about voting access, that you're concerned about parental rights, that you're concerned about access to technology.
Yep.
The fact is, if we save money in our state by getting rid of these perks for politicians that waste a lot of money, and we invest in these areas, that's going to make a difference, right? So I'm going to keep on fighting to make sure we fund what works and get rid of what doesn't work, because I think we've had too much of this. Now, as I said, I'm a state senator. I live in Park Ridge. I represent the 28th District, and it's my goal to keep on doing that. So if anybody of you live in Schaumburg, Elk Grove, Des Plaines, Mount Prospect, Hoffman Estates, parts of City Chicago, if any of you live in those areas, please come out and support me on Election Day, right? But most important, please reach out to me, right? Please reach out to me, express to me your concerns, because I know you want a government that works, right? I know you're the voice of the blind in the state of Illinois, and I'm only as good as the information I get from you. All right, you understand?
Yeah.
All right, so together, we're going to work together to make sure that we address these issues of parental rights, access to voting, updating technology, so we can help people who need the support. Look, I get the fact that you're not looking for a handout. You're looking for equal access and equal opportunity, the same way everybody else gets it. Right?
Yeah.
The same way. You're looking for fair treatment. And the best way to level the playing field is to make sure that somebody, just because they have a title next to their name, doesn't get special treatment. You know, I don't get special treatment because I'm a senator at my house. My wife doesn't treat me any different, right? I still have to take out the garbage, right?
Hope so.
Right? So the fact is, my job is to clean up this mess in Springfield and be a voice for you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you so very much for the chance to be here at your convention. I want to say that this is the rowdiest convention I've ever been to. Keep it going. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. And God bless you. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey. Now, Senator, I am going to hand you... Senator, I have an envelope for you.
Yes.
This envelope contains a model custody rights bill. What it says is that the courts and any other official cannot take away our kids solely based on blindness. You got a blind parent that's bad, fine. But don't do it just because I'm blind.
Yes.
So we'd like you to take a look at that and see if you could support us on it. I'm not going to put you on the spot this minute. But please take a look.
I will definitely consider.
I promised I wouldn't put him on the spot.
I will definitely consider endorsing it. I appreciate what you're talking about. I will do my best to help. And there's no reason people should be discriminated against. And there's every reason why you should be able to have a strong voice in Springfield for you. So I appreciate the opportunity. I thank you for this. I will review it. But let's keep working together, okay?
Thank you. Right. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Thanks again.
Thanks, Patty. Thank you.
I'll call you in a month or so.
Okay,
great.
After you get a nap. All right. Very good speaker, too, huh? I have some announcements.
Yay.
All door prizes this year will be accompanied by an audible book. All door prizes this year will be accompanied by an audible book. Attention, diabetics. If, give me your attention or you won't like my gavel. If you win a door prize, you may exchange it for the Prodigy Voice. We're doing that so the Prodigy Voice doesn't go to somebody like me who won't use it. If a diabetic wins a door prize, you can exchange it for the Prodigy Voice. Whoever the first one is to ask for the Prodigy Voice is going to get it. The Prodigy Voice is a way of taking your own blood readings, and it'll let you do it independently. We are looking for two slates that were left on the table and styluses. Did anybody find them? Want them to see Denise?
Yes.
They need to go to Denise Avant. She's up here. I have found a cane with a Mickey Mouse attached to it. It's not mine.
Oh, it's mine.
Carl says it's his. I don't believe him. Do you?
It goes with my watch.
That is up here with me. So if you want to claim your Mickey Mouse cane, come see me. I thought it might be Pam Gilmore's, but it's not. She does that stuff with her cane. Take literature, and more literature. Roberta would like to not take this back home. There is a lot of literature on the back table that's about NFB. All of our vendors yesterday, the people who want to sell to us, not the merchants, the vendors yesterday added to it, as did the judo demonstrators that were here. So in the back of the room is, 5, 8 foot skirted tables. So literature all over those tables. Take it home. Your badge is your meal pass. Wear it. Your badge is your meal pass. Wear it. You also need your tickets. Make sure you're wearing your badge. The way that lunch is going to work, so everybody knows, is this. We will clear this room at 11 o'clock. At 11:30, the student lunch will start in here. We won't eat 11:30. I would like everyone who wants to listen, especially to our scholarship winners present, to come into this room at 11:30. We will split parents from students at 12:30. Both lunches will be served at 12:30. The parents will be going across the hall to Michigan. Okay, NFBI and IFS are selling T-shirts. These are really cool. Our bartender yesterday bought two of these. The front of the T-shirt says, "I am who I am. I don't need your approval." The back says NFB in big old puff paint. Braille. Braille puff paint. They're $10 a piece. You need to see the IFS table. Thank you. Carl, are you listening? This is a no-smoking hotel.
Not in my room.
Unless you have a smoking room,
Yay.
Which is your sleeping room, you are not allowed to smoke.
Yay for my room.
Bump my mic. Oh, Rowan's up. Is that you?
Blind. Didn't see it.
You're blind. You didn't see it. I don't know if I deal with that excuse too well. All right. That's all right. You guys should have been here yesterday. I actually walked off the stage. I've never done that before. I'm glad the room wasn't full. I was not hurt except by way of my pride.
Your pride, exactly.
You know, use that cane, right? You're rearranging furniture. Okay, I don't want to know what you're doing. Something, but our students, I usually don't want to know what they're doing. I'm not quite done, but I'm getting there. When I ask you to clear the room, we do really need to clear this room. That's because we're using this room for our food events as well. So we need to clear this room when we need to at 11 o'clock, and then we'll need to clear it again at 5 o'clock tonight. So that means make your way to the doors, at least get to the hall, and better if you make your way to the lobby. Okay. Ladies and men's rooms are across the hall. If you go out of this meeting room, they are generally across the hall and down a bit to your right. Everything is Braille. You do not have to be a parent or a student to attend the parent or student lunch. If I didn't make that clear before, we want everyone to attend. I'm almost done, guys. I did ladies' room. Now, somebody's got candy. Who's got the candy here? The Candy King has candy. So if you have sweet tooth, would you please see Ken Staley? He's got all kinds of candy. I'll read it off later. That ends my announcements for the moment. Now, all kidding aside, I have a great deal of respect for our next speaker. He and I both sit on our national board. And you want something?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, we do.
What do you think Denise wants?
Guess what?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. We have, we're going to give away some cash to start off. All right. We are going to give a $25 cash prize donated by George and Linda Villa, and that is going to go to Bill Reif.
I missed that. Who got that? Anil.
Bill Reif.
Oh, Bill Reif. Bill Reif.
Oh, Bill, could you stand up? Ryan is going to bring you your...
Bill is in the room. All right. Our next speaker and I both sit on our National Board of Directors. In between conventions, it is the National Board that decides the direction of this organization. The president carries out the dictates of both the convention and the national board. He serves as president of our New York affiliate, and I have had the privilege of being a national rep at his convention, and now he serves as our national rep. So I'm going to introduce my good friend Carl Jacobson. Yeah.
I want to thank you, Patty. It's good when the tables are turned, and I have to work for you this weekend.
Yeah.
I want to do a quick survey. And by the way, I want to thank IABS last night for giving me and Mindy a chance to sing in public. We're really rather retiring and shy about that. So thanks for the opportunity. And by the way, if I say something that doesn't quite work with you guys, keep a Neil from throwing debris on the field, will you? And those Atlanta guys don't know how to treat a losing. You know, you lose graciously, Atlanta. I'm new here in Illinois, so I'm new to your town, I'm new to your state, and I want to get a feel for who's out there. And answer my question, follow my lead here. Who in this room has been at these conventions for 20 years or better? Say aye. All right, now you folks be still now. Who's been here, who in this room has been here between 10 and 20 years? Say aye.
Aye.
All right, who out there has been here between 1 and 10 years? Say aye.
Aye.
And who out there is here for the first time? Say aye.
Aye.
Good number, yes. Love it. This is a fluid organization. Let me get one more piece of demographic information out there. How many of you out there are students?
I don't
care. They usually go, woo. Yeah, okay. How many of you students are awake? That's better. And how many of you out there are parents of blind children? Yeah, there you go. How many of you out there are Randolph Shepherd guys? Yeah. Bless your hearts. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Old Randolph Shepherd, to quote Chico Esquela, been very, very good to me. Like Patty said, she does national repping responsibilities as part of her assignment from Dr. Maurer, and as do I. And Dr. Maurer this weekend is in Arkansas. He's one person, therefore he cannot be in 52 places. So he asks some of us to do that. But on his behalf, I want to wish you a great convention, bring you greetings from him, and all the best wishes from Dr. Maurer and everybody at the National Center for the Blind in Baltimore. I see my role here as not only talking to you, but listening to you. I regard the national representative's job as a bridge between the national organization and the grassroots. Tip O'Neill one time said all politics is local, and that might be true. But if it's too local, we don't get anything big done. There's no one city or state in this country that can get the work done that we need to get done. So while it's all local, it's also all national. And in order to get that done, we need a bridge. And for this weekend, I'm serving as the bridge. So I want to talk to you about a few things that occurred to me, and particularly since we have so many new people. It doesn't hurt you veterans. It never hurts me to hear it once in a while. A bit about where we've been, a bit about where we are, and a bit about where I think we need to go. And then I'm going to give some time, like we did last night, for audience participation. No prizes, but audience participation. If you... because I want to hear from you, too. You can hear from me, and I can talk on until you guys have lunch or until I fall out here. However, having said that, I want to hear from you, too. So you all know that the Federation was formed in 1940, and it was formed by 17 people from seven states who decided to call this organization the National Federation of the Blind. Now, I don't know. In some parts of this country, they call it NERV. In New York, we call it chutzpah. Yeah. 17 people calling themselves the National Federation of the Blind. Yeah, okay, sure, right. However, that grew to what we have today. It has improved the lives of blind people tremendously. If you've noticed on some of the programs that we have around the country, whether it's half fare programs, paratransit programs, health care programs, somewhere on there, when it's been instituted for a certain population, it has said for the aged, blind, and disabled. I always wondered why the blind was separate from disabled. I thought to myself, why doesn't it just say aged and disabled? No, it says aged, blind, and disabled. I asked one day why that was the case. And I don't know whether it was Dr. Jernigan or Jim Gashel that said, the reason that is true is because we have such a good lobby and have done such a good job that oftentimes our benefits are greater than the average disabled benefits, like Social Security. We all know that our benefits are better. I'd like to see other people's benefits catch up to us. There were those that would like to see ours go back to them. No, we got to come the other way. Let them catch up to our benefits. But the reason it has been that way is because of the National Federation of the Blind. IPEs, Individual Plans for Employment. I wish they hadn't changed that name. It's too confusing with IEP. But it used to be called the IWRP for those of you who are ancient. It is your rehab plan that you work out with the agency, your rehab agency, to get yourself through college or a job program or job training. Something called client choice is in there now. Client choice was something that we dreamed of years ago, but now you students have client choice. You students know what client choice is? No, I didn't think so. They take it for granted. Yeah. You have choice because your forebears and mine decided that blind people should have choice. So you have a choice in what you want to be. I know a gentleman who wanted to be a lawyer in the late 1940s. He was told by rehab in his state that they didn't think blind people could be lawyers. He was told that rehab thought that blind people should be teachers, particularly English teachers, because it was simple. It was only reading. So blind people should be English teachers, and they would pay for his education to become an English teacher, but they would not pay for his education to become a lawyer. Well, he was a poor boy from the farms in Tennessee, and he swallowed and did what rehab said and moved on with his career. How much different would life have been if Dr. Jernigan had become a lawyer instead of starting off as an English teacher? In a sense, I'm glad he hadn't become a lawyer because he would have gotten buried in his practice and not had the opportunity to run the rehab programs. But history is what it is. It's happened to all of us. It happened to him. And it will happen again. The IEP, the choices for our children to get Braille, the laws that says they must, even though they're not enforced. We understand that. Laws are only as good as enforcement. These things were not around. The first crack at some of these things about equal education and the fair, appropriate education, free and appropriate, that's the word I'm looking for, free and appropriate education for disabled children, particularly blind kids, came in 1976, and it's been enhanced ever since. We know it today as the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Parents, those are the rights that your children have. To the extent that they get them is up to you and me. But they wouldn't have them from 1976 up until the most recent reauthorization of that act had it not been for the National Federation of the Blind. Yeah. Randolph Shepherd. Yeah. Yeah. I can top anybody in bellyaching about my program, okay? We can all bellyache. However, it is one of the best opportunities that Congress ever devised. You ask anybody in business in this country, blind or sighted, how is business? Oh, well, you know, could be a little better. Not as good this year as it was last year. Oh, I'm losing my shirt, you know. But you know what? You look at most of us walking around. My stomach comes into the room 2 minutes before I do. We are not underfed. Some think we're overpaid, but we're not underfed. However, money doesn't come easy. It's a hard day's pay to make a living in Randolph Shepherd, guys. But before I was in this program in the 60s. I left for a while, came back in the 80s, retired out of there, maybe 6-7 years ago, something like that. It was a great opportunity then. It's still a great opportunity. However, in the 1960s, you didn't have choices. You did what your agency said. There was no arbitration. There was no administrative review. There were no rules and regulations. There were no standards for full-service cafeterias. There were no enhancement opportunities that we like we have today. Forget about vending routes on the highways. None of those things were available in the 60s. The amendments to the Act that allowed for arbitration and a three-party panel were created by a gentleman named Kenneth Jernigan. And he had done it first when he was the administrator in Iowa. Iowa was the first state to run run its program the way we recognize it now. With the sorry?
Go Iowa.
Yes, go Iowa, right? Iowa did it. And they set the model for the country. And when the law was reauthorized in the 70s, and the regulations finally implemented after many years, the rest of the nation caught up with Iowa and created the three-party panel to hear grievances. Prior to that, your grievance was heard by the agency director. You know what chance you stand there, guys. Having said that, once again, we wouldn't have the Randolph-Shepard program we have today. With the opportunities we have, and opportunities are only as good as the people who want to seize them. If we don't seize them, it's not the law's fault, it's our fault. So it's only, once again, because of the National Federation of the Blind that we have this. Now, one more thing in Randolph-Shepard, folks, and this, you know, Randolph-Shepard is all about money. People go into teaching and law and healthcare for some kind of altruistic reward. You know, there's something cuddly you feel when you win a case for a client or teach somebody a new concept. I don't know anything rewarding about selling a Milky Way, except the profit margin. I never left and said, oh, I feel so good today. I sold 57 Milky Ways. Whew, what a great day this was. No, I left and said, boy, the day was $100 up over yesterday. What a great day that was. There is something in Randolph-Shepard that we all enjoy, and it's very little known, but you guys in Randolph-Shepard know about Social Security provisions for unincurred business expenses and all that stuff? Uh-huh. You guys back there know about that?
Yeah, buddy.
Yo, they're quiet because they don't want to admit to the money. Right? All right, you know what I'm talking about. You have that also because of the National Federation of the Blind. National Federation of the Blind has enhanced our incomes. In addition to what we make at the counter, it has done a doggone good job of seeing that we are the fattest, well-fed blind guys in this country. Now, all right. And you know something? I say that with thankfulness and pride. And thankfulness to people like Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Maurer, Jim Gashel, Kevin Worley, not to mention Nikki Gakus, and other people who are currently leading the program. Don't forget Nikki. We'll hear from him later. So having said that, there are many things that are happening in the center today and around the Federation today. You heard Patty refer before when she talked to the senator about custody legislation. As hard as it is to believe, there are still places in this country where blind people's right to have their children is being challenged by healthcare professionals, by social workers, by courts, etc. Yeah, Boo is right. However, it's real. Missouri was one that, you know, we have two cases running in New York right now of that variant. I can't give you too much detail on it because they're being heard. However, yeah, and you had, Patty just told me you have one here in Illinois. That, frankly, sucks. People, like they say in the military, permission to speak freely, that sucks. But we're going to do something about it. And we will continue to we'll do something about that. Now, blind parents ought to have as much right to be tortured by teenagers as sighted parents. Having been tortured by teenagers, I'm there. We need to protect those rights. There's another group of rights that we need to protect. I refer to myself and my colleagues before as being very well paid. On the other end of that scale, there are people working right now in this country who are making sub-minimum wage. We all know about that. H.R. 3086, we can talk about that all we want. However, there are people who say to us, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me. Sure does. The senator was sitting next to me a few minutes ago, and, you know, he made his announcement, you know, said what he said to you, And he said they passed a law that said now that politicians can no longer get health insurance for life. And everybody out there thought it was that was a good thing. And you know why? They did pass that law. Because it was law before that politicians could get lifetime health insurance. Legislatures giveth, legislatures can taketh away. We have the right now. And I applaud, by the way, I applaud the Chicago Lighthouse for giving up the certificate. Yeah. The certificate that would allow them to pay sub-minimum wage. If anybody knows people at the Chicago Lighthouse, tell them this boy from New York said thank you. We still have four more agencies in New York to get into line that are blindness agencies. We have 124 of them, but they're not all blindness. I'll deal with the blindness guys first, and then we'll chip away at the rest. But having said that, we've got the opportunity to change that. And why do we need to change that? We need to remove Section 14C of that act so that if in 10 or 15 years the administration at the Chicago Lighthouse gets it into their mind to do the opposite of what was done here, the law, it won't be there anymore. As long as the law is there to allow it, it can be done to us again. We need to make sure that it just can't be done to us again. It's been done to us too many times by too many people, and we need to be vigilant. We have the rights to education. We have them as long as we safeguard them. We don't have them forever. There are always budget shortfalls where governments want to cut programs based on budget. They will cut them based on their priorities. We need to make their priorities our priorities. We need to stay on their case until they understand what our priorities are. And our priorities right now are custody, their equal access to all materials, whether it's Amazon that violates it, Barnes & Noble that violates it, LSAT that violates it. I don't care who violates it. We have a right to equal access. Same books, same price, same time. Boy, somebody told me once, this is the first generation coming now that won't have trouble getting access to print. And I thought that was pretty neat. Until I started to realize, it's not true yet. Amazon's still out there. The Nook is still out there. There are plenty of places. The State Department is still out there putting out inaccessible readers to people in other countries, showing them the value and worth of American society. Well, it is. It's showing them right now that the State Department doesn't give a rap about accessibility. Are we going to make them care? Yeah, I don't know the legal words for it, but we have filed something to stop them from doing it. Call it what you will, guys, but the National Federation of the Blind is not afraid to take on even Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yeah. And by the way, I only named her because she's the Secretary of State. If there were another Secretary of State, we would take him or her down too. And, I mean, as long as our rights are threatened, we're going to be there. The Jernigan Institute was established in 2004 to be the first place in this country. There are others who will tell you they do it all over this country. But this first real place where programs for the blind can be designed by the blind and be implemented by the blind. Since its inception, since our opening at the Jernigan Institute in Baltimore, we have done things like space camp. We had a young man who went to space camp last year, didn't we? Somebody, if he's not here, I heard him at breakfast. Young man here at this convention went to space camp. And we've had science camp, Rocket On. Our children, our blind kids have launched rockets under the supervision of NASA. They've done marine biology experiments. They've done math and science experiments. Math and science, things that blind kids shouldn't do. Blind kids shouldn't be in science, should they, Kerry? No, exactly. We have people in this room who put the lie to everything I'm saying. And that's the beauty of the Federation. Because you tell us we can't do it, by God, somebody out there is going to do it for you. Now, we have done these things because we've had the ability to do them. The people in the Federation, far and wide, have gotten together and say, this is important. We need to raise up our children and get the resources so that we can once again put opportunities in their path. We did that through fundraising. I know, here he goes. But how many of you belong to a local church, synagogue? Yeah, most everybody does. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts? How many of your kids went to school? And the school needed money for a sports program, so they came home and said, "Mom, Dad, we got to sell 7,000 boxes of candy because the PTA needs a basketball." And they told me if we need 7,000 boxes of candy, and you took candy to work and sold it for Johnny and Mary, didn't you? And we've all done it. Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many have sold them and bought them? We know that. And why did you do that? Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. You'd eat a pillow if somebody put chocolate sauce on it. And we did this for our churches, for our synagogues, for our Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and children's schools, because we believed in our children, we believed in our religious institutions, we believed in our lodges and our communities. We went out there and sold that candy, asked people for donations for the building fund, for the education building, for the school, to raise a new library in town. Whatever it was, if we believed in it enough, we went out there and said, "Patty, would you give me $100 for my capital campaign for my church? We're building a new education building." And if she said no, I went to the next person. If she said yes, I said thank you and brought another $100 back because I believed enough in that thing I was asking for. The National Federation of the Blind has made enough of a difference in my life, so I'm prepared to ask every one of you for money. Has it made enough of a difference in your life for you to get out of here, go home on Monday, and start asking your neighbors to support something that has made enough of a difference in your life so that you can pay a mortgage, put food on the table where you couldn't have 72 years ago? Yeah, the organization hasn't made a bit of difference in our lives, has it, guys? Not a bit, no. Yeah, you got the point. Now, I want to try a quick experiment. It's going to take me 2 minutes. I've got something else I want to do before I'm finished. Before I was going to say sit down, but I've enjoyed this. I can talk forever sitting down. We have no podium up here, so we all have table mics. So you guys just chill out. You got us now. We usually ask you to turn off your cell phones. I want you to turn them on. How many have cell phones out there? Say aye.
Yeah.
How many have iPhones?
Yeah.
Oh, it should be even easier for you and that dopey Siri. but it's not impossible for those of us who have real phones that you punch buttons on. You know, the ones you can feel? You know, the buttons that you feel with your finger instead of hoping you've touched the right button? 7, 4, 5, 6, 1, 3. What the heck am I? 3, 4. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, turn on your cell phones. Get to your texting ability. Get to where you text.
Carol, I'm already there with my iPhone that you think I can't find the numbers
right.
on. What do you want us to do
here? I want you to text, prepare to text the word blind, B-L-I-N-D, with a space, and I-L, because I want to know where this came from. I want to see how effective we are. Then I have something to do later. But this is going to, by the way, let me warn you up front, just to tell you the pride you will have. This is going to cost you $10. Do you think the National Federation of Blind is worth $10? Do you think your standard of living today, because of the Federation, is worth $10? I've lost more than $10. It's easy. $10 doesn't mean what it used to. $10, by the way, when I was a kid, was a whole week's groceries for the family. $10 isn't even a trip to McDonald's for one anymore. So, get ready. Put the word blind, space, I-L. And I want you to text it to the number 85944. That's 85944. When you've done it, just hit send. You will get something back that says, do you want to do this? Just confirm it by saying yes. And 85944. Each one of you will get something back that says, do you want to do this? Confirm it. Yes. Boom. And you can all feel free to tell me when you've done it. Because I want to see how many texts we can get out of this room. This one. I can check this on Monday to see how successful this was. And then I have one more mission for you all. I have several more missions for you, but I'm lying. But I'm retired Randolph Shepherd. You know the drill. I can lie. Really, this is fresh today, sir. These donuts are fresh. They came in this morning. Everybody done that? Everybody get the yes back?
Yep.
All right. Some of you have already sent your $10 off. Now. Okay, I was actually going to open for questions in a few minutes, but I'll take a question now. Go ahead.
Do you have any idea what happens if you attempt to do that from a prepaid phone?
No, I don't. They'll probably whack you $10.
They have no way to bill it to your account?
No, I don't know. I don't know that about a prepaid phone. I would guess it would probably eat up your dollars a lot quicker than making phone calls. Like if you put $100 on the phone, it would likely suck $10 right off it. That would be my guess, but don't count on that. I don't. The short answer is I don't know.
Is my mic live?
Yeah, there's an iPhone next to me. I think she's given $400 so far over here.
Well,
I mean, the sound. The
I'm
sound.
Trying to get it to go out over the mic. Can I get a live mic?
Oh.
No.
She's doing a fine job, Patty's yeah,
oh, well.
She's texting a little heart out over here.
It just won't go. I can't get it to go over the mic.
But it did go. Okay. Anyway, you all have the point. So if you haven't had a chance, I'll just remember 85944, the word blind, space, I-L. Illinois, well, then we'll know they all came from Illinois. You can put N-Y in there if you want. It's okay by me. But I-L, in the spirit of this weekend, put an I-L. Monday you can put in N-Y. You can put in, actually you can put in B-M if you want vendors to take credit for it, you know. At National Convention, I went to the student division meeting, and they were thrilled to do it because I told them they could use the code BS for blind students. So you had a dozen students jump up just to text the word BS. Now, the other thing you need to do, you will meet somebody on Monday or Tuesday, somebody on a train or on the street or on a bus somewhere. You ever meet somebody who says, "Oh, I just admire you people so much. Yeah, you're so wonderful. I give you a lot of credit. Oh, is there anything I can do to help you?"
Inspirational.
What? Yeah. You're such an inspiration. You're so inspirational, right? Is there anything I can do to help? Yes, ma'am. Do you have a cell phone? I'd like you to text 85944, put the word blind in there. You can help my organization by doing this. That's just like selling candy, folks. Ask people to help you. If you have somebody that you'd like to hit up for more than $10, feel free to ask them to make a donation online. You can ask them to write a check. This is the money that will build our future programs for our kids. We were taking dreams at the National Center. At the National Convention, for people to fuel our dream machine. We ask people to contribute money as well as their dreams. How many of you are on listservs of one kind or another in this federation? Lawyers, vendors,
Whoa.
Students, whatever. You all get that. I just saw an announcement last night that Micah Bob put out talking about sending in your dreams to the National. She posted it. It went out as a David Andrews thing to all lists. That means he hits us all. Send your dreams. We're going to make our dreams come true, but we only can do that if we know whose dreams, you know, what the dreams are. So we need the funding to do that. We always need the funding. It's as simple as it can be. The economy is such that everybody is short. You've heard both presidential candidates talk about how tight things are in the government. You heard the senator here talk about how tight things are in Illinois. Well, things are tight all over, folks. We need to figure out where our priorities are. And we need to help fund those priorities. I have no choice but to fund the state of New York. You have no choice but to fund the state of Illinois. When they want funding, they will take it from you. And New York will take it from me, and Washington will take it from both of us. However, we do have a choice about our federation. Our federation will be as successful as we want it to be. It will be a success. Our dreams will come true. As long as we will make them come true. We can't make them come true without money. As tough as it is, folks, to understand, I know, there he goes again, talking about money. It's real, guys. It's real. We need it. And it will fund the future program. It brought us to where we are today. Where we are today is a far sight better than where we were 72 years ago. And even when this affiliate was formed. And we are a far sight better along because of the programs of the National Federation of the Blind. So I want to pause for a second because, like I said in the beginning of this thing, I can talk and tell you what I think is important. But I want to hear, because at some point we get to talk to Dr. Maurer. When Patty comes back from her trips, I get back from my trips, he'll say, okay, so how did it go in such and such a place that you went to? And we'll talk about the experience there, and we'll talk about some of y'all that were good and some of y'all that weren't, you know, and then some of the fun things that happened and some of the fun things that didn't happen. But we will talk about how the life of that affiliate and where that affiliate is. And at the same time, I'd like to be able to say to him, you know what they're thinking about in Illinois? I don't know yet. What are you thinking about in Illinois? Questions for me? What's important out there? Speak with your name, not mine. You know the drill. Those of you who have been around the organization know the drill. Those of you who have been not, who have not been around the organization, if you want me to recognize you, don't please don't hold up your hand. It's going to be an exercise in isometrics. If you want my attention, call your name, and I will recognize you for the rest of the time that the president gives me.
Maine.
Sorry. Leanne.
Yes. Carl, could you please repeat the question so we can capture it on the stream?
Yeah, we will.
Repeat what?
Yeah, I will, Leanne.
The texting?
No, she wants me to repeat the questions. I will.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, when I hear the questions, we'll repeat them. Yes. Questions? I can't believe this is an audio. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Digressing for just a second, back on H.R. 3086,
mm-hmm.
The Fair Wages legislation.
Yes.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but under 14C, as now written, any employer, whether it's sheltered or a top-tier corporation, could apply for the sub-minimum wage certificates.
That's my understanding. Is that correct, Neil?
Let me go back. The question was, and we're doing this for the stream.
Okay.
The question was, under 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act, can any employer, including a Fortune 500 company, apply for the certificates? And the answer is?
Yes. Any employer can do that. Now, oftentimes you find not-for-profits doing that. But don't get any ideas, Randolph Shepard, guys. I used to rag on my people because I paid them. I said, you know, I'm paying you a lot. I ought to go apply for one of those certificates. But I didn't. That's when they wanted raises. I usually told them that. yes, any employer can do that. So it needs to go. It needs to go. And why does it need to go? Because it's just wrong. Why do we have the 13th Amendment? Because slavery was wrong. This is slavery. It's wrong. Anyway, and by the way, this is not slavery based on race. This is slavery based on disability. And by the way, there are those who will say to you, well, these companies, they're going to go out of business. They won't be able to support. They won't be able to do this and that and this and that. After the 13th Amendment, the South did not stop growing cotton and tobacco. There was still cotton and tobacco coming out of the South after slavery was abolished. So don't let the man in the big house lie to you. Right? Whether it's in a workshop or whatever, those guys in the big house are going to do just fine. We just want our little quarters down the road there to at least get running water. All right, other questions? This is an easy audience. I can't believe you know everything. Does everybody know everything out there? No. The trouble is you don't know what to ask, right? Yeah, Steve?
No.
We'll repeat your question.
Friends in front of a Goodwill store.
And
so that was it. My colleagues from New York were very helpful in getting me the requisite street and transit directions to make that possible.
Now, for the sake of the internet, Steve just said that he was in New York a few weeks ago during our Goodwill protest and was able to participate with folks in New York. We had five demonstrations going on in New York. I was not at the one that he was at. Our treasurer was there with our office manager and a few others at the one. And, Steve, let me publicly apologize to you for crummy directions. Linda, my office manager saw you coming about two blocks away, and she said, "This guy looks so haggard. He must have walked a mile from where you told him." Couldn't you have yelled him to do such and such? I mean, she and I both know Brooklyn. She said, "Why did you tell him to go that way?" So, sorry about that.
And Steve makes a point that's really important to our philosophy. You know, when Carl and I talk, we don't say we are our, us and, for we say we and our for a reason. We don't say us and them. I occasionally hear, "Oh, that national office, they." No, we at our national office. This is our organization. Any one member that wants to go to our national center in Baltimore can go, can stay, can get a tour. That's our building. This is our outfit. This is an organization that we run for ourselves. So whether you're involved at the chapter level, the state level, the national level, or all three, you're all part of the same thing, which is the National Federation of the Blind.
You are all citizens of perhaps Springfield or Chicago or some other place. You are also citizens of Illinois. You are also American citizens. We are all members of the National Federation of the Blind. Yes. And because of such, my destiny is as tied to yours as yours is to mine. I will be as successful as you are in Illinois. You will be as successful as I hope I am in New York. We are as strong as our weakest link. We can make this come true. We can make these things happen. I wanted to really come on with the Laverne and Shirley theme. You know that theme? Give us any chance, we'll take it. Give us any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true. Doing it our way. Yes, that's doing it our way. Yeah. If you know the thing, just keep singing it. That is almost a Federation theme song, as good as Glory, Glory Federation. Doing it our way. There is nothing that we can't try. Never heard the word impossible. This time, there's no stopping us. We can do this, ladies and gentlemen. We will repeal 14C. We will get blind people the right to raise their children. We will get blind people opportunities for equal access to books, same time, same place. We will improve the living standards of blind people. We will enhance the Randolph-Shepard program. We will grow opportunities in spite of society's belief in us. We will do this because we are the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you any good at auctioning?
Sorry?
We're talking about money. Are you any good at auctioning?
What do you have?
I have a single-strand coral necklace donated by Leanne Main that I would like you to auction off. Can you do it?
I can do that right now.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Do it.
Gentlemen. You have ladies? Gentlemen, you have friends. We equal. Ladies, do you have friends? I want you to buy this for somebody, your significant other, any of your significant others. I don't care who they are. If your money is green, you bring it up here. I want pictures of dead presidents up here, preferably Grant or better. Dead. I want dead American philosophers on this table. Ben Franklin.
Do you know the link?
Now, how long is the strand?
I don't know.
It's about so yay long. Okay.
It's in the box, so I don't know.
Well, let's see the box.
You want me to get up?
I want somebody to bring it to you. You're the president.
I think I hit it. Nobody else knows
where
it is.
Oh, then if they win, how am I going to give it to them?
Well, you know, I figured they'd pay. They are going to pay. I'm going to go get it.
We all have boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, friends, lovers.
This fish 25.
You got 25 from Estella's. 30. I got 30 in the back.
35.
35. I have a 35. It's pink, I'm told. Pink is good. I don't care what Jerry Falwell says. It's not a Teletubby. It's a necklace. I have a 40. 45. I have a 50. There we go. Now we're up to one dead president. Let's get to a dead American philosopher. The guy with the kite on the string, the key.
I found it for a minute. I thought I wasn't gonna be able to find it.
Oh, good. She found it. At least we got a. At least somebody got something for that.
I did find it.
Okay. Let me see how big it is.
You may.
I'm going.
Do the honors, Carol.
Okay. I'm opening it up right now.
Get a drum roll.
This is the neatest little plastic bag I ever saw.
Oh,
it's like the kind of plastic. Yeah. Now I got a real box here, but that plastic bag was cool. I could have put a bag of chips in that plastic bag.
Jewel bag.
Okay. Let's see.
We can sell you some.
Is that IABS or Randolph Shepherd? Oh, no, I don't buy from you guys. I'll buy from IABS. They're not for profit. I know the way. I'll give you 20, five for a dollar. Five for a dollar? No, you don't want to do five for a dollar, do you, anymore?
Sell my necklace, Carl.
Yes, I'm trying. This is a fair-sized necklace, ladies and gentlemen. Would drop down around cleavage level, you guess. It's not a choker.
Okay, guys, it's...
Oh. Patty's got it.
Okay, I'm comparing this on an 11-inch piece of paper. When I put it down by an 8.5 sheet by 11, I would say it's a 16-inch, maybe 15-inch necklace. It's 15 or 16 inches.
There we go.
Will you take bids by Twitter?
Sorry?
Will you take bids by Twitter? Do I know who I'm getting the bid from? If I can ID who's bidding and I have any chance of getting the money, I don't care if it comes by carrier pigeon.
Right. We need to know the bidder either needs to be here or known to the president. So if Dr. Maurer were listening right now and wanted to bid, I'd wonder why he wasn't participating in the Arkansas convention. But if he wanted to bid, he would be recognized. So far right now, I've got $50. I've got $50 for this great necklace. Come on, let's do something for our friends.
This is really pretty.
50. Do I hear more than 50? This is going to go 50 in a few seconds unless I hear something else. I hear 50. Do I hear 55 or 60? Do I hear 55 or 60? I've got a good $50 bid. Wake up, folks. Oh, no, hold on. I'm going to get you later, two for more. 50, 50, 55, 50 going once, 50, 50, 50 going. 75. 75. Three quarters of the way to that dead Franklin guy. Three quarters of the way to Franklin.
And just so you can pace yourselves, we're only going to auction off three items during the whole convention. This is one of the three.
Right. The last one's going to be a Lexus.
Donated by Carl.
Right. All right, I heard 75. Did I hear something else?
80.
I heard 80. Okay. That's four Jacksons. That's four dead guys. I got 80. Do I hear better than 80? Do I hear better than 80? 80, 80. I got an 80. Do I need an 85 and 90 or something like that? Or I need a jump right to 100. Do I hear more than 80? I got 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80 going once. 80, 80, 80, 80, 80. 85.
Oh,
85. 90. I hear 90. 90, you're almost crossing that line, but you know I'll push it further if you go across it anyway. 90, going once, 90, going twice, 90. I'm getting bored doing this. Will somebody else do another? Will somebody else give me another number other than 90? Give me a number higher than 90, going once, 90, going. I'm going to keep on doing this until somebody says an appropriate number. I need three figures. I need three digits. Will somebody say something other than this? 90, going once, 90. Do I hear 95? Do I hear 100? I didn't hear 100 yet. Why didn't I hear 100? A nil.
I'll give what? $1 to the guy that
just bid 90. Nicky, help me out. I need to learn how to count here. What comes after 99? How many members of the United States Senate, Anil? I got, don't throw debris on the field, man. I got 90. I got 90. Guy, one.
Neil's gonna add the 10.
You're gonna add the 10 to, you're gonna add the 10 to shut me up?
Yep. He's
all right.
Doing it, yeah.
Going once. Right. It's gonna cost you more to shut me up later. Yeah. All right. He's up to 20. I got 110 so far. He's up to 20. Any other money to shut me up and get me off? Give it back to the president. I'll stop talking for a few minutes anyway. I've got 20 from Anil and 90. Who gave me the 90?
Who's
over there?
Who's the 90 from? Jess, hey.
Okay.
I hope your wife is sitting there. This is a pretty necklace.
All right. Going once. Going twice. It's 90 plus 20 90. From Anil for me to shut up. So it's 110. 110 will come the way, come towards the affiliate in about 2 or 3 seconds, going third time. Sold.
All right.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Think about that.
Now, if I can get a runner up here, somebody to bring this to Mr. Rogers, and we can get
the chance, we'll take it. Jack the volume.
Who will make it? We're gonna make our dreams come true.
All our dreams come true for me and you. Yeah, go.
Woo!
You go, guys.
Woo!
Go, go, go. Thank you, sound guys.
Mr. and Mrs. Rogers, thank you. I have the $90. Anil, where's my 20?
It's right here.
Well,
bring it up.
Bring her on
bring
up.
It up. We're disabled up here. Bring it up here, man.
Yeah, hey,
show us your ability.
It's a mobility test.
Show us your abilities. We're disabled. I'm retired,
Denise,
and Patty's a lawyer.
Something. I guess we
yes,
give Denise.
Madam President.
Denise, yes.
And in recognition of that magnificent presentation, I would like to give away a door prize.
Yes,
okay?
Please.
It's going to be a $50 Visa gift card. And it is going to be going to Raven Pulliam.
Raven should be here. Raven, are you here yet? Raven Pulliam, are you in the room yet? Do it again.
We got to draw again.
Oh, I still got a chance. Okay. Anil, you still have a chance, man.
Okay. This is going to go to Carol Sloan.
Carol is working child care. She gets it.
All right.
Carol's working child care. She gets it.
National Federation of the Blind of Illinois.
And for the record, I now have $110. Glenn, you can come get it. Okay. A couple of, a little bit of a change of gear here. Number one, I have an announcement that says that the water station is actually outside of this room. And by the way, if anybody sees Omer from the hotel, I want to know where my table podium is. Because I still don't have it. Now, if I can get you to...
could somebody bring some more water to the front table?
Yeah, Pat, Carl's asking for more water when you get a chance, please. I want to back up in the agenda for a moment, and I want to look at the people who passed away in the past year. Kankakee chapter lost 3 members. Our other chapters have been fortunate in not losing members, except for one huge loss that occurred on Monday. Kelly Doty passed away on Monday. She is our previous treasurer and was very, very active in this organization for years. Gave us hours and hours and hours of her time. There is a book that is at the information table, which we are writing in, and You can add cards or notes or whatever you like. We are going to send that to Kelly's mom and her sister after this convention. We did have some people attend the wake last night. Linda and George Villa went, and I know Mary Lou Grunewald. I don't know who else went with them. But Kelly has been and will continue to be sorely missed. So please take the time to write in that book. And let's take the time right now for a moment of silence for all the people we lost in last year. All right. I want the teachers of tomorrow to make their way up front, please. And Rose, you'll be after them. Rose Sloan will be after the teachers of tomorrow. Denise, while they're making their way up, can we get one or two door prizes?
Okay.
Hey, I didn't forget you this time.
All right.
So I'm looking for Brian Moles and Stacy. Stacy, I never get you. Is she not here?
All right, Madam President.
Oh, all right.
We have a CD player, which it is going to go to. They're in the room. It's going to go to Kathy Ungaro.
Kathy Ungaro. I bet she's here. Kathy, you hear that? She's No. Next. Mary Lou, you can tell Kathy Ungaro that she missed her door prize.
All right. Howard Wilson.
Howard? Not in the room.
Okay. Adrian Rodriguez.
I'll bet he's here. Adrian? Adrian.
Busted.
Scholarship winner. Adrian.
He was here, Patty. He just left.
Yeah, sure he was here.
No, I saw him.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know what? He's actually over in kid camp with Debbie Pittman, so he...
Is that true?
Yes, because he did...
Covering?
Yes, he's covered.
All right. All right, Adrian gets the prize. Now, you want to do one more or you want to hold off?
Only if I win.
All right, let's do one more.
Don't do it if she's not going to pull my name.
Carol's complaining. You might have to draw his name at some point.
Wait till the end of the banquet. That's usually the best.
It will be. It's a victor.
That's right. I want the big one.
Okay, this next door prize is a set of headphones and an 8-gig flash drive.
Ooh.
Okay?
Nice.
And that is going to go to Suzanne West.
Suzanne West.
She's here.
We have her. We have her. All right. Now, we run a lot of programs through our national office. One of those is the Teacher of Tomorrow program. And my thought on this program is as follows. I think that we got a little frustrated sometimes with the fact that we couldn't get TVIs, or some of them, to want to teach Braille in particular, and to do enough mobility and to have high enough expectations for our kids. So we said, well, okay, we're kind of beating our head against the wall trying to get people to get this after they're out of school. People seem to be in school to learn, and maybe we can get our philosophy across much better if we try a little bit earlier. So we began some years ago a program which brings and exposes future teachers of the visually impaired to our philosophy, to the philosophy that you have to have the highest expectations for our kids in order for our kids to succeed in later life. So I'm going to let Brian Moles, who's here from that program, tell you how the program works and tell you what his experience was like. So give him a hand. Brian?
Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yeah,
okay.
You're good.
Good morning, Federationists. My name is Brian Moles, and I'm a graduate student at Northern Illinois University. I had the privilege of being a member of the 2011-2012 Teachers of Tomorrow program. I also have to admit, Stacey Jenna was going to be here, but she's currently trapped in DeKalb, Illinois, and couldn't get out. And
you can talk more.
I get to talk more, but my computer also bit the dust this morning, so I had to make a new speech this morning.
Oh, God. Oh, you poor
fake
thing.
It. We all do.
Yeah, should be interesting. I'm a teacher. Exactly. Can talk, right?
Yeah.
The main thing I want to say is thank you. It's because of members of you, like you, that I was able to learn about the NFB and everything that the NFB does and offers to federationists like you. The Teachers of Tomorrow program was started in 2010, and it centers around a cohort of student teachers, future teachers of blind students to be. The premise is that by attending workshops and seminars, we explore the amazing resources of the NFB.
Yeah.
We check out the Louisiana Center for the Blind. We attend Washington Seminar and see all the lobbying work you do. We help run national youth leadership camps, chaperoning a bunch of teenagers, which is always fun. And we also attend national conventions to see one of the largest comings togethers of blind adults in the world. I don't think there are any who would argue that the greatest outcome of this program is the connections fostered by the NFB. My own connections with the NFB started when I was in the Peace Corps. I didn't know it then, but as time went on, I got to know them more and more. I got into the Peace Corps because I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to teach and that I wanted to keep doing archaeology. On a side note, I have a moderately useless degree in Egyptian archaeology from the University of Chicago. For lack of much other guidance, I joined the Peace Corps. And 3 weeks after graduating, I found myself in Kyrgyzstan, a country in Central Asia. I spent my mornings teaching English in a rural village, where twice a day the main road was closed for a sea of sheep to pass. In my free afternoons, I went to the big city, where I had English and writing clubs. One time, this young woman came up to me, taking me up on my offer to proofread essays for competition. Most of the essays I read were centered around the writer, a story of how the economic opportunities afforded them would change their lives, change their families' lives, all for the better. But what Elnura, this young woman, had was so different, so selfless, and to this day, one of the most compelling pieces of prose I've ever read. Her story was of fighting for her students, struggling with an extreme paucity of resources at the special boarding schools for the blind in Kyrgyzstan. The scarcity of resources only made her strive all the more, and to seek to better herself for her students. Elnura was applying to a program that would offer her the education she needed to better serve her students. I was, frankly, fascinated by her work. I was so wholly ignorant of the blind world, I asked her if I could come one day to check out what was going on in this school she worked at. I remember that day. It was a cold day like today. It was in November. And it proved to me that I was utterly clueless about the local public transit system. I got so lost, I was 3 hours late. When I did make it to the school, I was amazed by the way Elnura worked with her students. She also threw me at the front and asked me to teach a lesson. I survived that day, and I like to think that on subsequent lessons, I even thrived. Time passed, and Elnura managed to win the grant to come to America. She started studying at this university in Louisiana called Louisiana Tech University. I wasn't sure how it'd go. I have to admit, I'm from New Hampshire, and I'm kind of scared of the South. But Elnura started telling me stories about this organization that she was working with, this NFB, which I didn't really know much about. My experience with the blind was totally in Kyrgyzstan. Now, they were the ones behind the university program. They ran this adult center that she was living at. And they even had chapters across the U.S. I stored this information in my head. I was still a little too centered about figuring out how to make 25 copies of worksheets by Slate and Stylus every night. As things go, time went on, Elnura finished her time in Louisiana, and I finished my term of service in the Peace Corps. I knew I wanted to be a teacher of blind students, but I also knew I wasn't going to move to Louisiana. Chicago was my adopted home, and I wanted back there, not the South. So I planned on heading to Northern Illinois University. Before it had even enrolled at NIU, Elnura was pushing me towards this Teachers of Tomorrow program. It started with the phone interview. Rosie Carranza from Baltimore called to chat regarding why I'd wanted to do this program. 2 seconds into my story of what drew me to the field, Rosie asked, "Do you mean Elnura?" This was the Rosie Elnura had been telling me about. And suddenly I started meeting all these people that Elnura had told me about. The connections had started to form. Back at Northern Illinois University, I had the privilege of working with the program head, Dr. Kapperman, who is blind. I started my Braille class, for whom the TA was blind, and I met my classmates, some of whom were blind themselves. From the first day, I had the privilege of being surrounded by adults succeeding, adults who were not limited by their blindness. When I went to the first Teachers of Tomorrow program, I realized something. This experience was unique. My experience was very much the outlier. The other students in my cohort didn't take classes from blind instructors. No one had blind classmates, and few even knew blind adults. That's what the point of the Teachers of Tomorrow program is, what the NFB offers us, connections to blind adults who are doing just fine. We get to meet students that are excelling, and we get to be immersed in a culture that isn't available to us in our graduate school classrooms. When teachers of blind students have a different worldview when they know blind adults. They know students can do more, that just a B for blind isn't right, and that they can advocate better for their students with administrators for student independence. I can tell students, no, really, you can do this. People do it all the time. I can give them tips that blind adults use. More importantly, I can even connect them with blind adults. Heck, even I can get help. Deb Stein is faster with help on a Braille note than any Google search. That's what the NFB is, what the Teachers of Tomorrow program provides, and why the program is so important. Imagine teachers of blind students that have never met an adult that reads Braille just as fast as they can read print. A teacher that has never seen a teen that's just as connected and just as good at Facebook and Twitter as any sighted peer. Or my favorite, what about a teacher that wasn't taught to use a chainsaw under blindfold by a blind guy?
Yeah, right.
That's why I want to thank you. NFB members like yourselves that are engaged and involved, advocated for this program, where you open your centers, your facilities, and your worlds to teacher candidates to better prepare us. Forgive the dead language quote before noon. The Greek philosopher Socrates once said, sort of, the only thing I know is that I know nothing. And at the end of the day, no matter how many hours I spend under sleep shade, how many training sessions I attend, I still take that blindfold off. It's not my world. I can't know everything. And indeed, I can't truly master much because it isn't a daily skill for me. But with the NFB, you give me the expertise I need to help my students. Let's face it, I can't put makeup on even with the full use of my vision. So what can I offer that eighth grade girl who wants to figure out eyeshadow?
Right.
I can give her a phone number of an NFB member I met.
True.
What can I offer that sophomore in high school who needs some tips on goal ball? All I can offer is my war stories of playing with some professional goal ball players and how fast and hard they can really throw that thing. But really, what helps that student more is me giving them an email address to an NFB member that plays three times a week, lives, eats, and breathes goal ball. So again, thank you. Thank you for sharing your world, letting me experience what makes the NFB great, and energizing me to believe that my students can do anything they set their minds to. Thanks.
We do have some time for questions. There are two mics in the front of the room, or you can call out your name and I'll repeat your question. And while we're letting people think on that for a minute, Brian, I had one comment. You know, I think what you're talking about is really what we get from each other, too. When I came into the Federation, there were a number of things that I definitely had in my head that I couldn't do because I can't see. And even when I think I can do something, sometimes finding out the best way to do it is about putting it out on a listserv or calling someone. You know, I'll never forget when John was really small and just starting to get mobile, I think it was Debbie Stein who said something like, you know, when are you going to get bells on that kid? As in, you're going to walk on him pretty soon. You know, we have high expectations for each other, and we teach each other how to do things as much as we can try and teach people who are teachers of tomorrow. Questions, comments? Yeah. Give me your name. No? I know who I am, dear. And Kathy, you used to be president. You really do know how to play this game. Give me your name, love. You did. And you know I have to give you a hard time for not doing it the first time. I love you, Kathy. What? Yeah. Kathy is stressing for the stream that we need Braille even if you have residual vision. And, you know, my story is the same as Kathy's. When I first started losing vision, I was 12 or 13, and the doctor said that I would stay with 2200 vision. Now, as I told you earlier, yeah, wow, that's right, Carl. I'm sure not at 2200 now. Not even close. Not even remotely close. And I continue to lose vision. So sometimes the doctors don't know. Sometimes they do know and don't want to tell you the quote-unquote bad news. I mean, every time I see a new doctor, they say, well, maybe we could do something for you. I say, no, you know what? Just give me the drops. I don't want the headaches. Just let me live my life.
You're their professional.
But they want to be able to fix it. So we get misinformation about prognoses all the time. What do you think, or how would you go about persuading parents? My parents got it. My mom said, teach her like she's blind. I don't believe you people anymore. You told me she was blind, then she sighted, and now she's blind. Just teach her like she'll never see anything, which is probably the smartest thing my mother ever did, at least where I'm concerned. So what do you do with parents, though, that don't want that, that really want their kids to be partially sighted because it's quote-unquote better?
I think part of it is going off those connections again, letting them see that having a blind child isn't the end of the world, that a child that reads Braille has full access to the world. They have assistive technology, and they can read. You also have to talk about the difficulties that using high magnification causes when they're trying to read a book. You can't carry a CCTV with you everywhere you go in your life. And I can also share stories. It was maybe a half-hour segment at, I believe, the Washington seminar, and it struck all of us, all of the teachers of tomorrow, very hard, pulled our heartstrings, because it was, I believe, five individuals at the front of the room, five adults. All of them had, at some part, been considered just visually impaired or just partially sighted, and they had been pressured to use print more than Braille. And all of them had been told that they were going to keep their vision, that they didn't really need to be Braille, and all of them they each read a couple lines from a book, and they were highlighting the difference that if you start learning when you're young, and when you have to go to, say, the Louisiana Center for the Blind, the difference in how you read, the difference between being able to read just like any other sighted adult with the same words per minute, as opposed to having to struggle over every single word, and how sharing the story, it can really prove to them that, I mean, literacy is one of the keys to employment in the world. And without it, how can you expect your child to thrive?
We have a literacy rate of 10%. Any other population that had a literacy rate of 10%, the whole world would be up in arms about. We have a dropout rate that's almost 50%. That's really frightening to me. It's very frightening to me, but I think some of it is because our kids are pushed to be sighted in an environment where we're not sighted. I don't remember who gave the speech, but there's a speech out there that talks about, I am not a broken sighted person, I am a blind person.
Dr. Maurer.
And I'm going to be who I am.
It's a banquet. Mm-hmm.
Carl says it's a banquet speech Dr. Maurer gave. Hey, Kelly, welcome. You're not registered, dear. You might want to register at some point, but you can talk first.
They said I was.
Oh, all right. Glenn's in charge of it. I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time, and it won't be the last.
You got my check last night.
Okay. Well, that explains it. You weren't on my list. All right.
Where's the microphone?
They're up front. There are two up in front of the table.
Actually, they're all on the table.
Oh, they're all on the table.
We own them.
Here, you can get him a cordless. Yeah, that's easier. Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're good.
My question is, like, with Brian regarding blind travel teachers. There is a belief in the field among teachers of the blind for children that in the blindness field that blind people can't be travel teachers. In fact, the academy that certifies people will not certify a blind person to be a teacher of travel. NFB has its own certification program.
So we do.
Right.
But, so we do.
But still it is the belief by many school districts and many rehab agencies that they will only recognize the academy certification. I'd like to know, in your efforts with this teacher program, this new program, of how that expectation might be changed, and with it the belief system that is sent to blind children, that then blind people are not able to travel as well or as effectively as sighted people.
When we were at the Louisiana Center for the Blind, we had, if you want to just set your mic on the table, I think that'll
okay.
work. Where was it? Louisiana Center for the Blind, yes.
Yeah.
While we were there, we actually got to observe 1M lessons, which was fascinating for me because I was taking the orientation mobility class for my certification as well. And it was an amazing experience to watch a drop-off lesson with a group of people that, if they were sighted, they put sleep shades on, and they really were able to do it. And so, personally, I can say, no, really, they can. I can describe some of the techniques they use. And it's that personal experience I have that it's
yeah.
possible they're able to ensure the safety of students, and they're able to ensure good technique use.
Okay.
Madam President, with your permission?
Yes, please.
Mindy, Kathy, some of you guys can help me with this. I want to dedicate something to the parents in terms of Braille, because I think people forget this now and again. And I think if we just remind ourselves, it's easy to remember. It goes like jingle bells, guys. It's something like, going to the school to write an IEP. Teacher says use print because your child can see. Technology's too rare, technology's too slow, and large print is too rare, and 15 minutes will not get you anywhere. Oh, Braille is here, Braille is here, Braille is here to stay. We will keep on using it, we don't care what they say. Braille is here, Braille is here, Braille is here to stay. It's the system for the blind to get a job that pays. There's more to it, but I don't remember it right now.
Thank you. See, you know, this is what, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. I can't sing, so I won't do it to you.
I move that the convention thank her for that.
Yeah, good idea. Ryan. And then I'm gonna take Ryan and one more and then we're gonna wrap it. There's a mic up here on the table. Go pass me. No, Pat, that's a gavel. Keep going. Keep going. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Turn it on before you talk.
Oh, hello.
I think it's on.
Is it working?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. I'm just...
Your audience is behind you, Ryan. Did you turn around?
Hey, guys.
Get you back to us.
Yeah.
No, my question is, with parents and Braille, I'm wondering about the disconnect or the gap between... And what teachers do to address it between, like, what I'm thinking of as wanting to get the best for your kids versus getting it, getting the power of Braille and stuff like that if you don't yourself read it, you know? Is that the issue? Is that an issue? And how do you address that?
I can say that on the Illinois Teachers of Students with Visual Impairments test, there's only two Braille questions. One is literary code, and it's, I believe it's contracted, but it might not be. And there's one incorrect Nemeth code question, which is kind of painful. So there's definitely not as nearly as high an expectation for Braille education as there should be, because it is literacy. It is, you know, Patty said that only 10% of the population is Braille readers, and I believe 90% of those people are the employed. So Braille is absolutely pivotal for a successful life. And so we have to advocate and continue with the efforts of the NFB. I believe it was Colorado, I might be wrong on that, the NFB is working to increase the Braille expectation for teachers of blind students manifold. It's quite an extensive Braille exam now, but that's what it needs to be, you know. For the sighted teachers, we can lose Braille if we aren't forced to keep up with it. A lot of times it's not something that we use every day in our lives, but we need to make it something. It's just a skill. You expect the math teacher to not forget how to do algorithms and other complicated math things. We should expect teachers of blind students to keep up with their Braille as well.
We as an organization have taken the position that we would like to see teachers who are already licensed be tested periodically so that they have to demonstrate their competency in Braille. If you teach blind kids, you should have some level of competency in teaching Braille. I have off the record had teachers say to me, I don't remember my Braille. And they say that's really why they don't want to teach it. You know, that should so not be our problem. But it is.
Can you forget the law and still practice Braille?
I cannot forget the law and still practice. And if I need to look something up and relearn it, I need to relearn it.
Exactly.
And that should be the expectation. Thank you, Brian. You guys, let's give him a hand. Thank you very much. I think he will be a very promising teacher, and I think more importantly, his students will be very promising young adults.
Madam President,
yes.
We often beat up on teachers of the blind because they don't do the right job, and you just mentioned a few of them, but there is a teacher who gets it, and thank
yes,
you.
Right. Yes, Denise. Rose, you're making your way up front while she's doing door prizes.
Yes, I'm already here.
Oh, you're here. Very good.
Ready to dance.
Love people who are on this job.
Okay, the first thing we have is some cookies, Italian cookies, and an 8-gig flash drive. And that is going to go to Nikki Nikajima.
She is working kids' camp,
all
yes.
All right.
So she
the
gets.
Cookies to the kids.
We get to. No, let's not sugar up the kids.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, no.
They're in
no.
here. They're in there. What's the difference?
Yeah, and I got to go home with the guy that's running kids' camp.
Get a hotel room for the night.
Try again. Do another one.
Can we do
please,
one?
Please?
Okay, we're going to do one more. And this is going to be three bracelets. Along with an audio book, and the bracelets, I think there are two gold and one silver, and that is going to go to the one and only Kathy Randall.
There you go, Kathy. Now you can buy it honestly. Are you here? Are you sure? Kathy is in the house. Our next speaker, I have had the privilege to develop a close friendship with really in the last, 6 months to a year. I've watched her grow from what I thought was a very shy teen who came to us, I think, first as a scholarship winner and is someone that Dave Meyer was very close with. she is incredibly talented. She's very smart to begin with, but beyond that, it's been amazing to see Rose grow as a leader in this organization. You know, I love to think that sometimes I can impact some of the future of this organization. If I've impacted her at all, I've made a huge impact in the future. She went to national convention as a scholarship, national scholarship winner herself, but took the time and used up the energy to mentor our students who were there, who are state scholarship winners, along with people who had won Jernigan scholarships to come to convention. Now, that's real leadership. When you could do it on top of everything else you're doing. This semester, Carl, quit picking on her. You know, you're sitting between us. If we really get after you, you'll be sorry. This semester, she's doing an internship for Jan Schakowsky. She just finished another internship. Yeah, I know, Anil's going nuts out there. She's a full-time student, and she's running for president of our student chapter. So, and she's still active in gymnastics, and I'm sure I've forgotten something. But the busiest people are those that get the most done, and I'm going to give you Rose Sloan, who I find to be an incredibly talented young lady.
Thank you for having me, Patty. And thank you for insisting I speak, even though I was reluctant to do so. I'm here today to speak to you about my experience of being a National Federation of the Blind National Scholarship winner. Although I do not know the specific reasons why I won this award, I'm going to share with you my journey. First, I'd like to introduce myself, although Patty has already sort of done that, but I have a prepared speech, so bear with me. As Patty said, my name is Rose Sloan, and I'm a senior at Northwestern University, where I study social policy. I have enjoyed my coursework while at Northwestern. I am currently in the process of writing a senior honors thesis. When I am not studying, I can be found in the gymnastics gym. I can also be found interning at Representative Schakowsky's office, tutoring elementary school students, and leading a community service group on campus. Some of you may recognize me because I am currently the second vice president of the Illinois Association of Blind Students.
Yay. Oh, really? Oh, they're awake. Yay.
I would like future applicants of the National Scholarship to know that I do not think that there is a magic formula in order to win the scholarship. However, I do have a few tips to pass along. First, applicants must be sure to get all of the necessary documents in and on time. This includes setting up an interview with your state president, who is Patty Chang. I promise you, she's awesome. I used to be intimidated by her, but she's super nice and wants to hear from applicants.
I'm still scared of her.
Second, I advise applicants to be persistent. Just because you did not win your sophomore year does not mean you will not win your junior year or senior year. I applied for the National Scholarship all 4 years of my undergraduate career. I was fortunate enough to win one my senior year. In other words, do not get discouraged. I am definitely not complaining that it took me 4 tries to win the award. I honestly think that if I were to win the award on my first try, I would have been scared away from the NFB altogether. That particular year, I was a state scholarship winner. The state convention was held right here in this very hotel. I was in my first month of school at Northwestern University, so I took the L to get here. I got off at the Cumberland stop, just as I was instructed to do. However, after exiting the train, I had no idea where to go. It was drizzling outside, and I was wandering around the area for at least an hour before I finally found the hotel. Furthermore, that year, my roommate decided to room with her family rather than me. At that point in my life, I had never stayed in a hotel room by myself.
No. Are you going to stop laughing at some point?
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm glad I'm entertaining you, but anyway. That was directed at Patty, not you audience members.
Let them laugh.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're allowed to laugh. It's cool. I like laughing. Laughing, happy. Okay.
It's okay for them to laugh, but not me.
Current scholarship winners, don't switch rooms. Your roommate will be sad. I know I was. And I know this year that is not a problem. I've already seen great friendships forming among the scholarship winners as well. I'm interacting with them, so yay, good job, guys. I share this story only because I want first-timers of the NFB convention to know that being overwhelmed is a normal experience. I am also going to further explain that this is my fourth convention and I still feel overwhelmed sometimes, so, you know, but that'll get better, I'm sure. Seriously, if any of you, especially first-time convention attendees, are feeling overwhelmed, please come find me sometime today. I will be sitting at the IEBS table. Ronza, can you say where the IEBS table is, please? Thank you. Yep, it is located in the back of the room. You just heard Ronza. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. So what kept me coming back to the NFB if my first convention was a less than stellar experience? Well, to be completely honest with you, the scholarship opportunity helped. As you all know, college is very expensive, and I truly needed any scholarship I could get to help lessen the financial burden on my family. Looking back, though, I realized it was more than that. That particular year, we had politicians drop into our convention, and one even made a promise to sign on to our Quiet Cars bill. That made a real impact on me. I saw firsthand how the NFB was making a difference. I also learned about the opportunity of Washington Seminar. Washington Seminar is an annual event in which members of the NFB go to Washington, D.C. to advocate for pieces of legislation that will improve the lives of blind Americans. As a social policy major, the fact that the NFB had such an event and the knowledge that I could be a part of such an event was really neat. Additionally, I remember meeting amazing people that year. I remember when I gave my two-minute introduction at the student lunch, which current scholarship winners, be prepared to do that, I commented on how many lawyers were in the room and how I thought I might want to be a lawyer one day. 3 years later, I'm pretty sure I don't want to be a lawyer, but but nonetheless, those lawyers turned out to be pretty amazing people who I am now proud to call my friends. Finally, my most fond memory of my first convention was that I got to meet other people my age who were also blind. I specifically remember showing a woman who was not too much older than me and was losing her sight the program I use on my computer called ZoomText. She had never heard of this program, and she was very reluctant to use assistive technology. I felt that I showed her that there are ways to adapt so that being blind would not have to impair her life. In the spring of the next year, I was not even planning applying for the national scholarship because I figured, if I was so overwhelmed by the state convention, how would I survive an even bigger convention? And anyway, I likely wouldn't win. But Ronza Othman gave me a call a few days before the application was due. She strongly encouraged me to apply for the national scholarship. I told her I thought I wouldn't win. Students who were seniors or in graduate school had a much better chance than me. She assured me that there were winners of all ages and that there were even some scholarships set aside for younger undergraduates. I turned in my application, and in hindsight, I'm glad I did. If nothing else, I showed the scholarship committee that I am persistent. Just as I predicted, I did not win the national scholarship that year. But I did win on the state level. Going into my second state convention, I was much more confident than the first time around. It helped that Ronza, again, Ronza, pulled me in during the year before. There was a motion to make the IEBS board larger. Instead of having 7 members, the board wanted to have 9 members. In order to make this change, the Constitution had to be revised, and members of IEBS at large had to decide on the details. Ronza asked me to serve on the committee, so I did. Going into my second state convention, I was more courageous. I sang an IEBS idol. I recognized people from the year before. There was a lot to do at the IEBS table. For example, I helped make ballots for the upcoming election. By the end of that convention, I had decided that I wanted to be a member of the IEBS board. I ran for second vice president and won. That year, I also won the top state scholarship. I was shocked and very grateful. As my sophomore year of college went on and the March 31st deadline started approaching, it was time to apply for the scholarships again. One of my friends, who was a national scholarship winner a few years back, told me that he or she was confident that I was going to win a national scholarship. After winning twice at the state level, attending a Washington seminar, and having the confidence of a former national scholarship winner, I was sure I was going to win a national scholarship that year. I did not. However, I was offered the chance to go to National Convention as a part of a leadership program. The way I understood it was, I was in the next in-group. I almost made the cut, but not quite. This is where I believe I may have made a mistake. I decided not to participate in the leadership program. I made this choice because that summer I had a 9-week internship in Washington, D.C. I did not want to miss a week to go to the NFB convention in Florida. In hindsight, it would have been very helpful to go to the convention, though. Being a first-time convention attendee as a scholarship winner was overwhelming, to say the least. If I would have gone to convention the year before, I would have known more people, not only from Illinois, but from all over the country. I would have understood the basic format of how a national convention works. As you probably guessed, after applying for the national scholarship 4 times, I was fortunate enough to win. One of my good friends asked me, "Is it worth it to apply for the national scholarship? National convention seems like an awfully big time commitment." I will be the first to tell you that I was not looking forward to going to national convention. But I'm so glad I did. It was literally life-changing. I met so many amazing people that I would not have ever met otherwise. For example, my roommate at national convention, a fellow national scholarship winner, is studying public policy and law with a specific interest in education policy. For me, I couldn't imagine meeting a cooler person. Again, she is a graduate student studying public policy and law and specifically interested in education policy. I know I haven't got around to saying this yet, but I am interested in becoming an advocate of education policy, and if I could be where my roommate is in 5 years, I'd be a pretty happy camper. I know we will all remain friends for years to come and likely good resources for one another. Convention was not only life-changing in the peers I met, but also the mentors I was introduced to. On the last day of convention, Patty Chang arranged for me to have lunch with the first vice president of the NFB, who is a professor, was an advocate to President Clinton, or advisor that is, and has a specific interest in education policy. Patty Chang also introduced me to Kareem Dale, who is President Obama's advisor of disability policy. Being the advisor to the president is the epitome of my description of a dream job. I would not have ever had this opportunity if I did not win a national scholarship and if I did not attend national convention. I'd like you all to know that although my interest lies in the political field and the advocacy stuff, there are so many people at national convention who will likely be in your field no matter what it is. Even though I ended up winning the scholarship of the smallest denomination, National Convention was totally worth it to me, and I can honestly say that if the commitment to going to National Convention is making you shy away from applying for the National Scholarship, it absolutely should not be. It should act as an even bigger incentive to apply because you will meet amazing people and make great friends. For example, while at National Convention, I became great friends with Brianna, Katie, Anthony, and James. All of them are also students from Illinois. I got to meet up with them several times while in Dallas. I have kept in touch with all of them. I also got to meet the other scholarship winners from all over the country. I could go on and on about my experience at National Convention. As I said earlier, please feel free to come talk to me. I am happy to talk to you about my National Convention experience or anything else, especially you students would like to chat about. I would like to conclude by saying thank you. Thank you, National Scholarship Committee. Thank you to the State Scholarship Committee. I'd like to give a special shout out to my mom and dad, who are both here today to support me.
All right.
Thanks for being here today. And for thanks for being here today and for supporting me for the past 22 years and everything I've wanted to do. Thank you to everyone in NFBI for all the support you've given me through the past 3 years. And thank all of you for becoming my good friends, in other words, my Federation family. As Kelly Clarkson would say, my life would suck without you. Spread far the fame of our fair name. Go Northwestern, win that game.
Now, do you all see what I mean? Wow. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Wow. I don't know what to cap it with. We don't have time for questions, but Rose will be at the IF's table selling T-shirts and talking to whoever wants to come back. So,
and raffle tickets and travel kits and all that good stuff.
Travel kits and all that stuff. All right, we're going to do a... We will do a door prize, and then we're going to clear the room. Yes. Dave?
Can I make an observation that I won't be too long?
Oh, God.
I wanted to also thank Rose and wanted to thank her parents.
Good. Thank you. You're welcome.
I said I wasn't going to take long.
Oh, God, Dave. Don't do it.
When Rose was actually quite small, it was her mom, as a co-worker of mine, who started asking me about perhaps working with her in Braille. It took her a year to convince me that maybe I might be able to do it. I refused because I didn't want to undo what had already been done. Rosie taught me that perhaps I can teach.
Yes, you definitely can teach, Dave. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me in the past. I'm sorry I didn't add you to my list of thank yous, but I thank you now.
I wasn't going to comment, but I do want to thank Carol, who's now become a Federationist in her own right, coming to events and helping with kids camp and basically being there for us at lots and lots of events, even those that sometimes Rose can't attend. And I love to see parents get active in their own right. Denise, let's cap this off so we can get them out of here and then get them back in.
Okay, we have as our next door prize a men's desk set. It says a picnic set as well. So... that is going to go to Kelly Pierce.
Kelly Pierce, he's here. All right, now we need to clear the room because the hotel's going to set up for lunch. We will be back here. We will start at 11:30. Clear the room.
Kelly Pierce, where are you?
I'm here.
He's here. Yeah, I heard him. Okay.
We're official done. For now.
Yep.
What do you want me to win?
I have a question for Carl.
Eating at 12:30, right?
We're eating.
Yeah. Okay. And then here at 11:30.
Yeah. You want to make it show at home.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Delicious things to eat. The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.